good day to be in the Lord's house. We've got a great group here to come and worship, and we're so glad that you've chosen to come and worship with us. And perhaps there's somebody in the parking lot that couldn't come in for the service today, or I'm pretty sure there are folks that are listening on the website on a regular basis, so we welcome them. And you know, it's the time of the year we celebrate Jesus. Of course, we ought to celebrate Jesus 365 days a year and 366 on leap years, because he is the King and the Lord of glory. And as we worship him today, let's honor him with all that we say, with our giving, with our praying, with all that we do. May we pray. Lord, it's so good to be in your house. We just love you and we praise you. We worship you. We honor you. We thank you for every person that's gathered today, both here in this sanctuary and in the parking lot and on the website, to honor Jesus. Lord, where would we be without Jesus? Today we just praise you. We worship you. We glorify you. And today may all that takes place honor you. And Father, you know the hearts of each person that's here. Through your precious Holy Spirit, would you minister to us according to what our needs are and what your will for our lives is. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas to all of you and your families. It's so good to see you in the Lord's house this morning. We also welcome those that might be in the parking lot, as the pastor said, and also webcast. We're going to start off, as we usually do, with a hymn sing, and this is Christmas time. So let's sing a Christmas song this morning. O Come All Ye Faithful, page 89, if you want to do it that way. Otherwise, look up on the board. As we stand, we're going to sing all three verses of O Come All Ye Faithful.
Flesh of
Amen. Let's tell everybody Merry Christmas this morning. Well, good morning again. I have some announcements for you. The one thing that I do want to remind you of course, we will have a call conference at the end of the service today. The purpose of the call conference will be to appoint two new members to the stewardship committee and also to approve the secretaries or secretary for the Sunday school and treasury as well. So let's remember that that's going to be done as a called conference today. All right, tonight is a very important time. We're going to have a great time tonight. I hope all of you are planning to be here with us tonight for our Christmas service tonight. I got a full page of people who are going to participate, and it's going to be something totally like we've never done before. And I want you to come and be part of it. I mean, we've got people going to be speaking tonight that's never spoken in this church before. People are going to be singing solo tonight that's never sung a solo before in this church tonight. That alone ought to get you here. But then we're going to sing Christmas. No, praise the Lord. I kid. I bet he could really sing. That's going to be the fun thing when he really does sing one for us one of these days. I bet he can really do it. But anyway, we will have a time of Christmas carols. The children will have a part in it tonight. And so it's all going to be a great time that we can worship together. And then after that, we'll go down and have a meal together. And we've not been able to do that for a couple years now. And I'm looking forward to a time we can do that tonight. So please come and bring somebody with you, if you would, please. Now, also I want to remind you that your Christmas cards are back there in the mail slots. Pick them up, and I've done a lot of hard work to get those ready for you today. Just remember also that the Lottie Moon is still continuing on. Our Lottie Moon, I got the totals here somewhere, $2,013 so far. So that's really good. I'm very, very pleased with the progress we're making there. So let's keep that in mind as we go forward. Jeff, did you want to report on the barbecue, or the totals on it, what you...
$1,224.
That's
what we cleared.
Okay, well, that's wonderful. That's not as nearly as much work as we have done before and made less. So
yep.
Praise the Lord for that. So, that's wonderful.
And thank everybody for those that participated. I mean, it was, as I always say, many hands make for quick work, and it does.
And it's good.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right, it was delicious, absolutely. It is delicious. I still got some. I want to read a card, a thank you card to the church, and it says, Barbers Grove Church, I would like to thank everyone for the barbecue that was brought to my family on Saturday. It was very good and much appreciated. Thank the men and the ladies who cooked it also. Thank you for thinking of us. That's Betty Howell, and that's the twins' mother. So that's what this went to, and I couldn't think of a better place, Brother Jeff. Yes.
For us to give away to somebody that needed it. We just felt those were the ones that in the church that needed it most.
Okay. All right. Any other announcements I may have overlooked?
I need to see the Baptist men down front after the service.
Baptist men, before you go that way, come this way, please, this morning. Okay? All right. Anything else? All right, let's go now to our prayer requests. And I have several that I have already been given to. Let's remember Paul Talley, David's brother, who is still in the hospital. David, you want to give us an update where he is?
He's getting better gradually. So they can reduce his oxygen. So he's going to take a while.
Oh, yes. Well, speaking from experience, I can tell you the progress is small, but it is progress. And you can take heart in that when you see just a little bit. You can praise the Lord for that. And then Jim Louder, the pastor's brother, is also battling the COVID this morning. So he's in the hospital. And you have an update there, Pastor?
Well, they're reducing his oxygen as well, and he is out of ICU. But that's a start.
Okay. Evan, I understand Evan was in the emergency room last night, and she's having some issues. And so let's remember Evan with some I believe she's just sick and on her stomach and having some problems. Betty, you want to give an update on her? All right. Let's still remember the families who have lost loved ones. Let's remember the Buddy Hatley family, and let's remember the Rick Hahn family. Continue to remember those and lift them up before the Lord. Do I have others this morning? Yes, ma'am.
My second cousin, John Eastman.
John.
John.
Okay. Okay. And let's see. I've got Vivian Austin this morning also that needs to be put on our prayer list. And also Dewey Smith, right, Jeff?
Yes.
And I'm sorry, what was the last name on Joe? What did you say?
John Lee.
John Lee, not Joe. Okay.
John Lee Smith.
Okay, got it. All right, yes.
Mm-hmm. That has COVID, has been on the vent since before Thanksgiving. They called the family in. They're going to take her off all of her machines because she's been on them as long as they can keep her on them. And it was her youngest child's 8th birthday, and they all got to go up and see her. So just be in prayer that something clicks and she's able to bring her on and everything when they take her off.
What was the last name again, please?
Woods.
Yes. I remember now, yes, okay. Anyone else? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today, and we come to you first in thanksgiving. We come to you first in thanking you, Lord, for what you've already done for us today. Thank you for those that are here today and who have prioritized their time to be here in your house today. Lord, I hope and pray we're all seeking a blessing today, Lord, and we will find it if we seek it. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for every blessing you give us. But now, Lord, as we remember the Christmas season and remember all of us around us, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the reason for the season. I thank you, Lord, for your Son who was born and then, Lord, came to that cross that we may have life and may have life more abundantly. And then, Lord, now as we think as those who have been mentioned this morning, we want to lift them up to you, Lord, in prayer, and we want to be specific with them and their needs, Lord, today. We pray for Paul Talley. We lift him up to you as he's battling the COVID. We pray for Jim, the pastor's brother, as he battles the COVID as well. And then there's Eva Ann, who is sick this morning. We pray for her, and we pray for healing for her body. And for John Smith family, we pray for him. For Vivian Austin, who has had surgery, Lord, we pray for her. We pray, Lord, for John Smith. And, Lord, we lift up, Lord, that Stephanie Wood, who is battling the COVID as well, Lord. We know you're able. And, Lord, we ask for healing for her, that she may be taken off the ventilator and be able to recover from this horrible disease. And then, Lord, we pray for all of those now, Lord, who are here with us today. We thank you, Lord, for our visitors who are indeed our special guests. We thank you for them to be with us today. We pray for Brother Ed as he comes before us, Lord, and as he comes today and brings the message to us. We thank you for him. We pray continued blessing upon him and his ministry here. Now as we go forward, Lord, we're going to praise you and thank you for all the blessings you give us in this blessed Christmas season. In your holy Son's name I pray. Amen. All right. Let's sing another Christmas song. This one is, I believe, Tonda, you all may be singing it well, but I picked it out this morning, Away in a Manger. What a great praise song that we can sing this morning. Away in a Manger, 103, as we all stand and sing together and praise the birth of Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
the children are dismissed for children's church. A little traveling music.
You know, most people get real excited looking at little babies. Well, at least until the diaper needs changing. Then it's your turn. But and a lot of people get excited about baby Jesus. I wonder sometimes if even the secular folks that don't believe in Christianity, don't believe in Jesus, are fully aware that they put up a Christmas tree, they're celebrating his birth. Now they may try to make it into happy holidays or something like that, but it's all about the birth of Jesus. And sometimes we get to talking about sweet little Jesus boy and we sing him away in the manger, and it's all about the baby. It's all about the baby. But a more important thought is this. You remember in the song, Mary, Did You Know? There's a question. Mary, did you know that your little baby boy is the great I Am? And a lot of the world doesn't want to recognize Jesus as the great I Am. I mean, after all, God spoke to Moses and he says, go set my people free. And Moses said, well, what God shall I tell them sent me? I Am. And from that time on, God was known to the Jewish people as I Am. Maker, creator, sustainer of the universe. The Almighty and the glorious God. And it's wonderful to look at the little baby in the manger and to love on him. But what an awesome thing it is when we think about Jesus as the great I Am. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews, chapter 1. And the whole point of Hebrews is this. I want you to see what a glorious, mighty, tremendous Savior that Jesus Christ really is. That he is superior to all others. That there is none like him. None that equals him. No one outranks Jesus but the Father. Now it begins in verse 1 of chapter 1 of Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Of course, there are people who don't believe that there is a God. They don't believe that there's a God that created the universe. But there are others who think, man, this universe couldn't have all come together by chance. And they have the concept that God was like a watchmaker who put together this tremendous watch that we call the earth, and then God went on vacation and left it to run itself. And God's not involved in our world. But what does the writer of Hebrews just tell us? God likes to speak to his people. Aren't you glad that God is not some absentee Lord, some absentee God, some God far, far away, but God speaks to us. And God speaks to us so that we can know Him, so that we can know how to please Him, so that we can be a part of His family. God speaks to us. And then He goes on to say, He spoke by the prophets. And just look through the Old Testament. Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Malachi, all of those Old Testament prophets. And each one of those prophets spoke to his generation. And yet, almost all of those prophets had things to say that even applies today and on into eternity. It's like putting together a puzzle. And this prophet comes in and he lays down his piece of the puzzle. And another prophet comes down and lays his piece of the puzzle. And another one, his piece of the puzzle. And when you put all of those pieces together, you have a beautiful picture of who God is. And you know, as you think about it, God spoke through the prophets as they preached. God spoke through the prophets as they wrote. I think it's so interesting. It's sad, but interesting. God tells Jeremiah to write down some things and send it to the king. Well, the king's folks, that are sort of in between, they read it and they say, man, we better not show him. But they do. And the king, it says the king is sitting beside a fire and they'd read off part of it and the king take his knife and cut that and throw it in the fire. And he'd read some more of it and he'd cut it off and throw it in the fire. King didn't want to hear it. And thought, if I burn it up, it won't come to pass. And when they tell Jeremiah what happened, Jeremiah says, and God says to Jeremiah, just write it again. Just do it again and we'll make it a little worse because the king wasn't responsible. God, the prophets spoke through their voice. The prophets spoke through their writing. They acted out some things. You remember Jeremiah puts the ox yoke on his back and he walks around and say, you folks are going into bondage. You folks are going into bondage. You folks are going into bondage. They didn't like that either. And one of the false prophets takes that thing and breaks it. Says, there's not going to be any bondage. Jeremiah says, there is. So God spoke through the prophets. And then Hebrews tells us God spoke in many ways through the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. He spoke through Jesus. He spoke through Jesus. No longer through a middleman, no longer a little piece and a little piece. He brought it all together in Jesus. And Jesus is God's last word. God's last word didn't come through Muhammad or Joseph Smith or Mary Baker Eddy or somebody else that said, I have a new revelation. I was listening to a pastor, a Bible teacher on a CD the other week, and he said, people are always sending him a tape and says, I've got a new revelation that I don't think you've ever heard and I don't think any of your contemporaries have ever heard. You just listen to this and when you agree with my interpretation and my revelation, let me know. And so the guy says, well, I listened to it and I wrote the man back. And says, You're right. I've never heard that revelation. None of my friends have ever heard of that revelation. And I don't think God's heard of that revelation either. You know, when God spoke through Jesus, he summed it all up. And he says, God spoke to us through his Son. And then he tells us so many things in here about how awesome Jesus is. Look at verses 4 through 7. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. There's a lot of, in Bible days, there's a lot of angel worship. And some folks didn't know the hierarchy. And the writer of Hebrews says, listen, it doesn't matter how powerful, how great the angels are, Jesus is far above them. Jesus is superior to all of the angels. It didn't matter whether they were just a lesser angel, or whether the seraphim, or whether the cherubim, or whether an archangel, it didn't matter. Jesus is superior to every angel. Which also means he's superior to every demon. Every fallen angel, of whom the devil would be one. I know there are people today that think, you know, it's sort of neck and neck, and we can't tell whether Jesus is going to win in the end or the devil's going to win in the end. Oh, no. Jesus is superior to them all. He is superior to them all. Look there in verse 8. But unto the Son he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever. And in verse 5, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Jesus is God. There are religions and groups that think he was a great man. There are those that think he was better than most men. But the Bible says he's the Son of God. He's God himself. How awesome it is that Jesus is God. That in him we can recognize the power and the presence of God. In verse 9, he says, Thou hast loved righteousness. Well, let's just look at the last phrase. Thou hast anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Jesus is greater than any other person. Now, we can proclaim our greatness. We can proclaim our power and our authority, and over the centuries, certain men and a few women have tried to set themselves up as somebody special and powerful. It says Jesus is above every one of them. Jesus is above everybody. And then he says in verse 2 and 10, by whom also he made the worlds, the last phrase, and then verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. And you remember in John 1:1, where he talks about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and not anything that was made except by him. Jesus was there at the creation. He's there at the creation. Creator of heaven and earth. It's laughable at the idea of evolution. that we started with slime that was hit by lightning and came on up and little one cell critters and on and on and on till we become men. Because science, real science, says that's impossible. And I'm not enough of a scientist to know, but I remember reading a book by somebody that knew what they were talking about that says, in order to have this development, you got to have this. But you can't have this without this. Both have to be existing at the same time, and yet the science says, this comes first, and then comes this, and then this comes this. Said, no. It can't be, because you got to have one thing, the other one. You heard the joke that where the scientist said, well, we can take dirt and make anything we want. And the Christian says to him, okay, but you got to make your own dirt. You know? They may be able to do a lot of things, but they can't create their own dirt. Jesus made it all. And it also says there in verse 3, upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus is holding this deal together. In other words, if Jesus simply spoke one word, dissolve, this whole universe would be like pouring hot water, boiling water on a piece of ice. It would just dissolve. Jesus is holding it all together. We may think we're big time, big stuff, but apart from Jesus, we wouldn't exist. And apart from Jesus, we wouldn't exist this afternoon or tomorrow or any other time. He says, Jesus holds it all together. Verse 3 also says, the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his person. Talking about Jesus is the express image of God. You remember one of the disciples said to Jesus, show us the Father and we'll be happy. And Jesus said, Philip, don't you get it? I've been with you all this time. Those who've seen me have seen the Father. Jesus is the express image of the Heavenly Father. I've told you numerous times that somehow or another we have the picture of the Old Testament God, the Father, mean and nasty, and then we've got the picture of Jesus, so meek and mild, and then we've got a picture of the Holy Spirit as some Casper the Friendly Ghost type thing. And no, they're all one. They're all one. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And Jesus lives inside of you as a believer through the Holy Spirit. Now, I can't explain all of it. I'm not sure we're going to get it when we get to heaven. That's why God's smarter than we are. Because he's got it all figured out. Says he is the expressed image of God. So if you find Jesus saying something, teaching you something, telling you how to live, then that is the Father's word to us. Jesus is the express image of God. Verse 3, by himself purged our sins. The only cure for sin is the death burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The blood that he shed on the cross. You can't do good, enough good. You can't die for yourself. It's the blood of Jesus that takes away our sin. Awesome to think I'm a sinner. I messed up. I have no way to deal with it. But there's one who loved me. He came to earth to take away my sin. Jesus purged our sin, your sin and mine. And you know, as Greg pointed out in the Sunday school lesson, where the angel said, good news for all people. One of the things, you know, hell is going to be a terrible place. But you know, one of the things that's going to torture people for all of eternity is to be there and to know that Jesus paid for their sin just like he paid for yours and mine. And they didn't accept it. They turned their back on it. They didn't want a Savior. They didn't think they needed a Savior. They thought they would make it without a Savior. And for all of eternity, they're going to hate it. That they... the bill was already paid. Their salvation birth certificate was already stamped, forgiven. And they rejected it. And they'll be kicking themselves for all of eternity. I hope that there's nobody listening to me, either in this building or in the parking lot or on the website, that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ because he paid for your sin. He died for you just like he died for everybody else. The question is, will you receive it or not receive it? The last part of verse 2 says he's appointed heir of all things. And then verse 3, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus is heir, it's all his. And right now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. It's a place of authority, place of prestige, place of honor. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Muhammad's not there. Joseph Smith's not there. Buddha's not there. Confucius is not there. Nobody else is there. It's Jesus at the right hand of the Father. And then notice also verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. One day all who oppose Jesus will find their terrible fate. The enemies, he says, they're just like a footstool. They're under his feet. Around the world today, there are those that hate Jesus, despise Jesus, want nothing to do with Jesus. Don't even want you praying in the name of Jesus. Don't want you saying, God bless you, or Merry Christmas. Don't want to have a Christmas parade, they want to have a holiday parade. And every enemy of Jesus will one day be under his feet. Amen. You remember, one of my favorite scriptures is this. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh man, that's fantastic. That every knee bows, every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. Every knee. There are going to be those of us who are there because we chose to be. And we're going to be, we've been praising the Lord and bowing our knees before Jesus, most of us here, all of our lives. And it'll just be natural to just keep right on doing that. And the angels who've been praising him for all of eternity will just keep doing that. But even the demons who hate it, you know, James says, the devils know who he is and tremble. And then those who have rejected Jesus will reluctantly, sadly, be proclaiming, yes, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I missed it. I missed it. If you go through and just read all of these different phrases, the way the writer of Hebrews puts them together, he's saying, listen, folks, there is nobody like Jesus. He's supreme Lord of all. And he's saying, get in on it. Make him the Lord of your life. Make sure you surrender to him. Oh, the little baby in the manger is cute. But the Lord of glory on the throne is far more awesome. Go back, if you have time today, and just read the first chapter of Revelation. You know, John had walked with Jesus for those years in Galilee, Judea, Samaria. But when John encountered the risen, glorious Christ that he writes about in the first chapter of Revelation, John was awestruck. John was amazed. And yet, this glorious God loves you and me. Remember how the little chorus goes? Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you and me. The baby's cute. The Lord of glory is awesome. And he loves you. Love him back. Give him your life. And join him in glory for all of eternity. May we pray. If you're here this morning, you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we invite you to do that. If you just come to stand before me here at the altar. If you're out in the parking lot, we invite you to come. Or maybe when the service is over, if you'll just pull up to one of the church members and roll down the window and wave your hand and say, I today give my heart and life to Jesus. Maybe you're listening on the website. And you suddenly realize you don't want to be one of those persons in torment saying, Jesus died for me, but I missed it. And today you want to accept that gracious, gracious offer of salvation. You just have to pray a little prayer and mean it. I believe in Jesus Christ, that He's the Son of God, that He died for my sin, that He rose again. And Jesus, I accept You as my personal Lord and Savior. I invite You to come into my heart and my life. Forgive my sin. And save me. And I thank You, Lord, for doing it. And if you'll pray a little prayer like that, and really mean it from the bottom of your heart, in the depths of your being, Jesus will graciously forgive your sin and give you eternal life. Fathers, we bow before You this morning. I love little baby Jesus. We all do. But oh, Father, we drop to our knees in awesome worship of the King of Glory upon His throne. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.